Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys. Wait a minute. There's only one here. Here they are, Patch and Switch.
It's a patch-free Friday.
It's another patch-free Friday.
Okay. We actually found, we had a little bit of a problem because one of our guys, Mr. Switch or Mr. Patch, we never know which one it is, he's off in Bucharest or is he in London? He's in Bucharest right now for customer visits and other things like that. And he neglected to use the Office 365 group that we have for collaboration and leave us all the audio sound files and audio bytes. So I tried my first audio file to download, and it actually was when we didn't have the audio files as well, and we were like singing. So that one there wasn't usable.
It wasn't that we didn't have the files, it's just they wouldn't play.
Yeah, and then this time here, it's like, okay, well, I happened to find a different one, randomly picked one, and it was the one where we were missing a person.
We were missing you, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was missing me. So it's that kind of meta that I'm actually here, the one that's actually doing the show, and we're talking about me not being there. Fantastic Friday, my friends. Welcome. We have a guest in the room.
We do.
I can't see the cameras at all, so I have no idea what's happening. So we have a guest in the room, a repeat guest.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a lot of those.
No. They come once and they're like, I'm never doing it again.
I was about to say. Yeah. So you actually enjoyed yourself enough, you wanted to come back.
Yeah.
Or at least you were willing, I guess you'd say, willing to come back.
Well, you know, Joey was out and you said, could you fill in? Of course. Why not?
Nice.
Why not?
We have the Mr. Larry La. Larry Larson is joining us again, once again. And secretly, you know why I asked you to be here?
Why is that?
Because I wanted you to see the current state of the studios to once again reinforce the dire need of the Patch and Switch Fund that needs to be funded.
If you take to my camera, I assume this is the patch.
Yes, that's the patch.
For the very first time ever, you walk in this room and the iconic power panels, breaker panels, are gone.
Which makes me wonder if they were real.
I know.
To begin with.
Because it's disappeared.
Because
they didn't have the OSHA...
Yeah, routing
stuff.
Routing high power electricity like that
is it's not a
unlikely.
Simple thing, right? You know?
So I'm wondering if those were real.
I'm curious about what they're going to use this room for once we actually move out, they actually decided to make it cosmetically or sort of cosmetically appealing.
I think they should close it down. Microsoft Archive should take it over as the Patch and Switch.
Crazy. The Patch and Switch.
Patch and Switch Memorial.
Yeah. Should have a shrine.
The
here.
Memorial Fund. Memorial Fund to Patch and Switch. Somewhere, we actually have a chat room, and if you happen to go to patchandswitch.com and you're not listening to this live, you won't see the chat room button. Actually, no, the chat room button normally is still there, but no one will be there. But we do have some people in the chat room today, and if I hit my refresh key, that's not the refresh. That's doing something different. Was it doing something different?
Don't start playing music, because that'll come across.
That won't work here. Let me cheat this. Hit F5. I can't see the keys. There we go. Hit F5. And...
the craziness that is. 10 people online. Look at that. We got Mr. Ledwig coming in from St. Louis. Hey, Rickster CDN's on there, too.
He's a jerk.
Soren Fischer is there. Mr. Henrik, good day. Kevin Hoyle. Chuck Rocks Canada is joining us. Foul Temper is there. Fairbrit, Vizio MVP, and, you know, the audio guy. We're there too. Larry is not
a lot of comments.
Larry is not in the.
I'm in there. I'm just not logged in. I logged in first, but I was on the Channel 9 Twitter account.
Well, that'd be like celebrity sighting if we saw the Channel 9 account in here. They would be authorized to come on in there. So that's actually very, very good. I don't know if we're going to have Canada join us today because apparently there is a build tour live streaming from Toronto on the main page for Channel 9. So they might not be joining us. Traditionally, one of the guys up in Canada tends to stream this while they're doing labs of the IT camp or of the hands-on labs, something like that. So I don't think they're going to put us up on the main broadcast stream. Although, you could probably patch us through to the live stream that's going on right now for Toronto as an in-between thing if you wanted to.
Yeah, I could do that.
it's called a career-eliminating move, I think. Yeah. Isn't it? Career-eliminating move. Oh, my goodness. So this is the... I guess this is the... the Switch Hour with Larry.
Yeah.
Switch and Larry. Switch and Larry are going to be up and talking today. But hey, man, like there was a tweet from someone that actually came up, and of course, I don't have my Twitter client up here, that was saying, hey, he is busy, you know, with that thing, and he's a little, you know, busy with that thing for a while, so he's not going to join us. Seriously, this, some guy tweeted to Patch and Switch saying, that sounds like fun, but I've got this thing.
Okay.
I'm going to be busy for a while.
We're going to miss him.
So yeah, we're going to miss him for sure. Of course, you know what? This is my rebuilt Surface Pro 4, and I do not have the appropriate
Patch and Switch.
Let me bring this up again. I can't tweet as Patch and Switch right now.
So Larry and I could just talk while he's searching,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that works.
So how's it going, Larry?
It's going quite
well.
There
we go. All right. Who was that?
So,
who said that?
By the way, I did a walkthrough of the new studio yesterday.
Is
and
it
the
open?
Day before, and the day before.
It's over
we
there.
We can go in there after.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, if we had wireless broadcast capabilities?
We do. Not in here.
No, no, but in here, if we had wireless broadcast capabilities, yeah. We could actually, like, show people.
We could. It's not far from here.
Wow. That is awesome. That would have been very cool.
You'll be impressed. I think you'll like it a lot.
Yeah. This guy, Jason Velocity, a good friend of ours, more coffee than man, out this week, have to do that thing with some stuff.
Mm. I hate when I have to do the thing with the stuff and the thing.
I know
the
thing.
It's a little crazy sometimes. A little crazy. Our first segment.
I wonder if that fan can come across these microphones. That thing's just...
It's cranking over there. It's definitely crunching those bits to make this work.
At least they quit hammering for the show.
That's true. So as you probably heard if you listened to the show before, we do have a number of segments to go on through, but I do want to give you a construction update. As you saw from the patch in the wall, that's not Joey that we left inside that wall.
Yeah.
That actually is just a patch for the patch panel.
Jerk.
But they actually have the doors open, and they have the protective screens down for the hallway to let us see the hallway. And there's actually some progress. Like, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty cool space over there.
Yeah.
Do you know what that direct space over there is going to be? Is it going to be, like, open concept? Or?
I do know what that is,
what
and
is
I
it?
Don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know, it's... I don't want to have to get injured or anything.
I can tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Well, it's the nuclear launch room, isn't it?
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Don't say that.
You've said too much already.
Don't say that. That's actually, that's going to be one of the new Azure regions, I think.
Okay.
A new high
availability. I thought that was Rusinovich's garage.
Yeah.
Have you seen
it's not
garage?
Big enough. I can tell you that.
There we go. Let's double check here. Double check there. First segment, my friend, you know what, as I'm double checking, I'll let you actually go ahead. The first segment is called From the Trenches. We have absolutely no sound effects today.
We don't have a sound effect for
that segment anyway. The stuff that we're doing at work that you can share.
Okay.
You've already told us you've done a walk through the studio.
Yeah.
Was that this week, this past week you did that?
Well, I've done it a couple times this week. There were a couple groups that
wanted to see
it.
That sounds interesting. Tell us a bit about the new studio that's going in that you haven't told us already.
Sure.
Because you just happened to walk through there.
So, first of all, the space that it's in is very interesting. It used to be a conference room. But it was a really weird conference room that I think was designed in the 80s or something. And it had this big, like, metal globe in the floor. And so it looked like where Dr. Evil would make his plans or something, which I thought was perfect. And I wanted to leave it for the studio. But rolling the cameras over that would have been a little bumpy.
Would have been crazy.
So we're redoing that. So the main space, the Studio A, is going to be about... maybe twice as big.
Did you rip all the stuff off the walls? All the projection TVs, all
the
cameras?
Rip the stuff off the walls. We ripped the walls.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's all different. It's a completely different layout.
Did you keep the bench seating?
We didn't keep it, but it's going back.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be bench seating in there, so you'll see where that is. So
some throw pillows?
We can have...
Throw pillows and beanbags?
I'll throw pillows.
Not stadium seating?
Stadium in the riser where the second row is like 4 inches tall.
Nice.
So not a big stadium.
Unobstructed
stadium
views.
For ants.
There's no obstructed views like you get at Fenway.
There are no obstructed views except for like whatever cameras might be in front of you.
Nice.
Okay. Nice.
So the main studio is quite a bit bigger than what we have now. Right now we've got like the one table, and the new studio will have the one table.
Nice.
And another table. We're going to use
the
Ignite
same table?
Desk. No, we're bringing the... Remember the desk we had from Ignite?
Yeah.
We're bringing it out of storage.
Nice.
So that's going to be on the other side of the main studio.
You're going to have a permanent talk show style area.
Yeah,
inside
yeah,
of
a place
it.
Where good. You can sit down. You don't nice. Have to stand anymore.
Nice.
And then we'll have two smaller studios, Studio B, which is similar to the Studio B we have now in Studio C, which is this room.
So Studio B would be your self-serve, just sit in there, and you got the Channel 9 guys.
Yeah.
Pulsing room.
Yeah, it's the disco room with the lit wall in the back.
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of the 9 guy faces on the wall, though, and just have a white wall that changes colors.
That's not nice.
Yeah, it limited in what we could do. So
I guess you should probably put in like a gobo.
Yeah.
And you could then go and change whatever logo you wanted to be behind you.
Yeah.
That's an
idea.
You could see?
That. It's all your idea.
It works, man. It works. Yeah,
we'll give you credit for
nice.
That.
or you
stop,
could be like,
stop.
You know what? Let's go cheap and just put a projector up there, and whatever you want to project on the back wall could work.
Yeah.
Don't tell him he's head to start.
So we'll do that, and then Studio C will outfit for going live.
And have you designed what it looks like on the inside of Studio C yet?
I got some sketches on a napkin.
Sketches.
So we'll see what happens. And then for Studio B, one of the cool things that we used to have is we had some software that you could use to like drive the switching. Because it's a one-person operation. You go in, you kind of record yourself. It's like a screencasting room. And we're going to actually hire a company to redo that software again. So we'll probably make it open source and everyone can use it.
Software?
Very cool.
Really?
Yeah.
From this company.
Very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. I like it a lot, man. Yeah. Very fun stuff.
That's awesome.
So we'll walk through there after the show.
Sure. I can't wait.
You can talk about it next
crap.
Week.
Oh, crap. I got a meeting right after this I got to go to. My regular day job.
And you're going to miss
sucks.
It.
Thank goodness I took the day off. I'll gladly go take the tour.
All right. Nice. There you go. There you go. All right, you know what? Maybe we just end the show early.
Yeah, we could do that.
We could end the show early and be able to go off see the room. That could work. I like that idea. Maybe we'll do that.
I don't think the people would like that.
No, you don't think so?
No.
From the trenches as well, let me see. What have I been doing this week?
What have you been doing? What is it that you do here?
I'm trying to think of what I can talk about. I've been troubleshooting something.
There's that thing
where I have to go do it, but you know it's going to take a while.
Yeah,
I've been troubleshooting some strange things to do with the Azure environment, actually, with regards to publishing images. Publishing images is something that I'm now able to do that I work in Azure.
Hey.
I have access to the proper subscriptions, and I'm using the proper workstation. I've been properly trained. I can actually, publish an image and have it replicate to 28 regions around the world and then have it available potentially for someone to deploy inside the marketplace. Rather cool stuff. And I've been troubleshooting something because we have two different regions that are special, and they came online. One of them is India, and one of them is Australia.
I know all about the India guy.
And the Indian agents, these Indian agents, the Indian data centers and the Australian data centers actually have this little ring fence around them. Not really, but well, they do have a fence, but it's an electronic ring fence that basically prevents people from being able to deploy resources into that region unless they have a billing code inside that region. So how do you get a guy that is publishing worldwide images to be able to publish inside of that area?
You're going to have to move to India and Australia, aren't you?
I am hoping that I can find someone that will put me up for a little while so I can at least get a mailing address and a post office stop in both India and also in Southeast Australia to be able to publish down there. That's my plan. That's at least what I submitted to my boss.
Yeah, let's see if
he hasn't accepted
through.
It yet.
Yeah, imagine that.
Remote into a machine down there.
Remote
in
to do it? That might work as well. So
I hear VPNs are the rage to do things like that.
You can do that with a VPN? Pretend you're someplace else?
You can.
That is awesome.
Possibly look at video from another country.
Nice. Or? They're cracking down on that, I hear.
I know.
Apparently I've managed to figure it out, and I've been able to help out another publisher who's been having a problem, and things are happy. So
nice.
Things are good in the world of Azure image publishing right now.
Cool.
As I'm fixing them. But I also got kind of my wrist slapped as well today. Not today, this week. Apparently, there are these things called tickets. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
And apparently, you can be assigned tickets.
Yes, you can.
Even if you're not in the system.
Uh-huh.
Because the support people were like, you know, the image that I'm looking after as an example, they're saying, oh, yeah, he's responsible for this. Send it to him. They sent it to me, but I never got it. But apparently I did get it inside the ticketing system. But no one's ever trained me on how to use a ticketing system.
That is funny. I thought you were talking about the ticketing system with Channel 9.
No, too, no. But I'm talking about Azure, man.
Because we also use a ticketing system that I don't look at as much as I should.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know. What can you do with this ticketing system in Channel 9?
Well, you can file bugs. It's technically
bugs
the place.
With Channel 9?
Yeah, every once in a while. Oh. And if you want to request something beyond the front page, you're technically supposed to fill out a ticket.
That's why I'm not getting on the front page anymore. I've got to do tickets.
Well,
is that what it is?
We should talk. That's not the only reason. But yeah.
Okay, nice. So apparently there is a ticketing system, and I have now been scheduled for training. And
good
for
you.
Use the ticketing system. It's very, very cool.
Yes, I've avoided MSIT's ticketing system.
Well, no, this one's...
Will you silence your computer?
I did. What do I have to do? I said dismiss. I said
hey,
I don't want this update.
Why didn't
update.
You put it in...
Can I do something like send me into nighttime? Oh, turn on quiet hours.
Yes.
Quiet. I like that.
All we can hear
quiet
is
hours.
The TriCaster
fan. The fan. yes. So, ticketing systems, that's been fun. The best part was that the things have been resolved. And that was all just because of, like you said, the reverse engineering of going around the system in place to be able to get things fixed. And I will mention, these are very low priority tickets that I was assigned. But I still fixed them anyway. So that's new to me. I had no idea.
Someone should know better than assign tickets to you.
Well, or at least assign me to training first, and then be able to tell me that there's things. You know, next, what? Like, am I going to be on call for an incident all of a sudden?
Yes, you are.
What?
Yeah, we got you a beeper. So...
I get to carry a beeper again? We'll
SkyTel.
Oh, wow, man. Yeah. I wear one of those beepers in years.
Yeah.
That is awesome. You think they just have an app for it nowadays?
See, last time I wore a beeper was 2.5 years ago when I was at the medical company.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
We still rock
the
beepers.
Company.
We rock the faxes and we rock the beepers.
Wow.
I have my first beeper in my office.
You still
have
it?
I have a shelf in my office that's the Museum of Deprecated Technology.
Nice.
So it's all like old gadgets. There's the Microsoft cordless phone from back.
I remember that.
Yeah, a lot of
there
Palm
was Skype
Pilots
integration with
and,
that one, wasn't it?
And iPacs or whatever the
iPacs with the sleeve you could put in for extra battery.
Oh yeah,
or the,
I have
the PCMCIA card.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yep, I have that one, and I have a cell one that you can slide it into.
Wow.
And,
dang.
But I've got my beeper there. It was a Radio Shack beeper that I carried when I was 16 in high school.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I worked at a company that said, hey, we need
you to
carry
a
beeper.
That is
which,
awesome. Did they provide you with
16,
one?
Yeah.
Did you, so you stole it from this company?
They didn't ask for it back. And if you saw it, you would know why. but yeah, and at 16, I was like, of course I'll carry a beeper. That'd be awesome.
That's awesome, man.
And you walk around school with your beeper.
Yeah.
They mistake you for a drug dealer because you got a beeper on. No, really, I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working at this IT company. You know, I am, really. we had a couple new people join us in. I saw, Chuck Richards is now joining us there as well. Awesome. Channel 9 is in the room. Thank you very much for joining us once again. PEI Murphy, the cloud guy, is back. Good to see you. I hear that the weather is well out in PEI. It is warming up out there.
Is it?
It's almost ready to be able to start to dust off the streets and get ready for tourism.
Excellent.
That's how close it is in PEI right now.
So is PEI kind of like Montana? There's two seasons, winter and tourist/construction?
Yes. There's no construction. They don't do construction in PEI.
Okay.
No. See,
in Montana, it's tourist and construction season at the same time.
Okay. That's how that works.
Yes.
That's how it works. But it's definitely winter, that's for sure. Definitely winter for sure.
All right.
Other stuff at work. What did you do at work today? You know, I'm gonna open this up to the audio guy. You don't have a camera angle, so you're putting you on the spot. What have you been doing this week that you can talk about?
The thing I've been working a lot this week is actually we've been moving a lot of our pre-production environments to the cloud onto Azure.
Wow.
ARM templating. A lot of V6 ARM templates.
Nice.
And we have a big push from our CIO to be 100% with non-production systems in the cloud by the end of our fiscal year, which is in, 20 days.
20 days. Nice.
So people are still
do you have like a little,
pushing hard.
Do you have a little thermometer in the wall that you like, you know, color in as it goes more and more over to the Azure side of things?
No, we have a Power BI report that shows the number of servers left.
Nice.
Yeah. We're not, my group's not going to get 100% to the cloud because we have SAP, and SAP just can't get there right now.
Nice.
We're working with you guys on that, though.
No, it's absolutely supported.
It
in
is.
Different configurations.
In different configurations. But we have to change our whole configuration.
That's so. True. That's true. And we also announced at Sapphire that we're going to be supporting larger in production workloads and yep. support the new HANA database infrastructure
exactly.
in production. That's actually a project I'm working on.
Ooh.
So
we might actually work together.
I can't talk too much about it, but no. it's very cool to be involved in a service that's starting from the ground up,
exactly.
Being joined in to see how that works. And it's infrastructure. Like, it's yeah. literally like infrastructure stuff like I used to do, but on a scale that is simply mind-blowing.
Well, and one of the big things for us as we start moving to the cloud is the whole notion of, do you have to have 4 or 5 servers when you're in the cloud and you can rebuild them fast?
Now, I don't know if I'm speaking out of school here, but you shared a smiggot of a story about really interesting use of cloud technology, like it should have been used with regards to a couple of projects that you're on. Can you obfuscate the details, but kind of still share the gist of the story?
Details.
There's some big words.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. I can actually talk about one, and I could take out what the, you know, the group was and the application, but they were doing a data load into databases. And I got an alert in our reporting for Azure Spend that, oh, this one group upped their databases to
P11s. Wait, you're doing proper ops that notify you of massive changes that incur things?
Well, no, I just happened to look at the database tier report that we have. It's not alerting yet, but when it popped up, I saw a new database show up that I hadn't seen before that was moved up from a P1 to a P11.
Okay, now explain the difference between a P1 and P11 for those that are not database savvy inside of Azure.
Number of transactions per second. The P1 is the smallest. P11 is the absolute biggest.
Are we talking in the terms of thousands or something like that as far as difference in transactions? Or
yes,
tens of
and costs. So a P11 costs about $7,000 a month, where a P1 is about maybe $500, $600 a month.
Oh, okay.
So that's
a
major
change
cost
from 1
change.
To 11.
Yes, exactly. Contacted the team, and they said, well, we're loading data this weekend. I'm like, okay. And they said, yeah, so we bumped it up to a P11. We'll drop it down to a P1 on Monday. Oh, okay. Cool. Go for it, guys. That's
the
proper
use,
way to,
exactly. proper use of scale when needed.
Well, and the funnier part is they dropped it back not on Monday. They got their data load done at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, and their operations team was like, well, we're done loading. Can we reduce this? And they called the service engineer, and service engineer said, yeah, go ahead. Roll it back to a P1. The next week, they started looking. They actually dropped it down to an S3.
Oh, wow.
So because they dropped it down from a premium tier to a standard tier because it just didn't have the database transactions normally. Wow. But to get that huge data load into it.
That's neat.
They upped it to a P11.
That's neat. And that's specifically with database as a service or PaaS.
Yes.
The PaaS.
Database as a
SaaS
service.
SaaS solution of DaaS. DaaS. For SQL.
It's
kind of cool.
We count it as platform as a service. SQL
you could, in theory, do the same thing, but it would incur downtime on an IaaS infrastructure. You could do the same thing. I mean, you could start off with a D1 or D2, nice and small, 7 gigs of RAM, 2 cores, something like that. And then when you needed to, for some reason, bump it up to a D16 or a D14.
You know what we actually started doing on all of these pre-production builds? We're building them as D13s because they're fast to get all the build done.
Yeah.
And then we roll them back to D1s.
Oh, so, you know.
So we take advantage of the speed for the build and then roll it back.
So I've got two other things I did this week.
What's up, man?
We had .NET Conf.
Hey!
That was live streaming yesterday.
Tuesday through Thursday.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so had Hanselman in the house yesterday. And
was he there for the entire 3 days? Or just the final days?
Off and on. He had some other meetings he had to go to.
He's a busy guy.
So he is.
He's a busy guy.
And he's here today still, but he's in meetings. But
any interesting, strange stories that happened during .NET Conf? From regards to compute power or streaming technologies that happened?
So from my side of the production, we're more like putting out fires and trying to line things up than listening to what's going on. So we have to go back and listen afterwards to the sessions. But yeah, we had a issue with like a ground loop problem during one of the calls. We had to replace a cable.
What's a ground loop problem?
It was causing a buzz, and it makes it sound like the person who was Skyping in had this buzzing sound.
Oh.
So yeah,
was it the Skype person that had the problem?
No, well, it was our cable in the studio, so we had to rewire while we were live, which is always fun.
Getting cables ready to go just before you go live.
So
is always fun.
We had that, and then on Wednesday I did Insights training. Have you done that?
No, what's Insights?
That's with the colors. Have you seen it? What? So it's kind of like, you know, the little color blocks, the like foam blocks people have in their offices. That's Insights training.
Nice.
So it's a variation on the Myers-Briggs type indicator.
You're green or yellow?
Green. How did you know?
Because I'm green as well, buddy.
Wow. Nice.
You know what Joey is?
A red?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised. So it's
no idea what you guys are talking
it's
about.
It's a variation on the Myers-Briggs type indicator.
We did one in MSIT called Emergenetics.
Oh, so
that's sort of like it. Yeah.
Sounds similar. But then they chart out your entire team and like where you are on the spectrum. And of course, here's everyone.
And then you're down here.
And I'm here.
That's exactly my life, man.
Yeah.
I'm exact same way.
Yeah. So,
but you know what? Every team needs to have at least one of us
for balance.
We are the ones that bring sanity and reality back to the conversation.
I like it.
That's my plan.
And we all knew it going in, so that's fine.
Nice. Well, at least you get to stay with the team because, you know, they're not going to eject you because you're the one guy.
Yeah.
Oh, look, here you go.
Hot guy out.
He's out of there. Oh, my goodness. Good stuff, man. I'm curious. I have to ask you this.
Yeah.
The back end of Channel 9.
Yeah.
Going on. There's this magic folder process.
Yes.
People that are listening have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
However.
We talk about it all the time.
I know. That's the only thing I talk to you about, and I feel really bad.
Yeah.
But basically, I have a video that's done, a screencast, a demo, an interview. This particular show is an example. Yep. We have to take the raw video file that's in a variety of types of formats, just one file, and then we upload it into this magic folders area.
Yeah.
And then it says upload complete.
Yeah.
And it just disappears. And then eventually.
And you walk away.
You walk away. I learned that you have to close off the episode that is matching with, otherwise, it won't update that episode.
Okay.
So you close off of that page.
Yeah.
But then it just magically goes and does stuff, and then all of a sudden these multiple video formats goes on.
Yeah.
What's running that? What's behind the scenes going on?
Well,
right
I'm the wrong person to ask on what's running that.
Simplify it.
So first of all, let's take a step back and talk about where the name came from, Magic Folder.
Right.
Because in the very beginning, which this is 12 years ago, I guess, the developers used to have to render the videos for people and then publish them to the website.
Wait, it was craziness. Developers rendering videos.
Exactly, yeah. And it was a huge process. And so we were lucky if we got, you know, a video or two up a week or a day or however long it was. And so they came up with this this new system called Magic Folder. And the folder part of it was you would just drop your video into this folder. And then it would see it there, and it would take the video, and it would render it into all the flavors that we need to post it on Channel 9. And if you look, we have a lot of different file types. We've got the high quality, the low quality. We used to have WMV, which I don't think we have anymore.
Nice.
We've got MP3s, which people love because they can listen like a podcast and not have to watch video and burn their battery.
You still have a Zune format, I think, up there. That's staying.
And there's a lot of other... different file types that we do. So, and then we also have screenshots. And so there's like a photo magic or a magic photo or
there actually
something.
Is a process called magic photo?
There is, yeah.
MPs?
Yeah. And so
MFers?
It does the photos and the resizing of the photos.
Nice.
So this was changed around. It does it all up in the cloud now. But you still have this app that you have to use to upload the video. So one of the things that we're talking about in the next iteration of Channel 9 is we'll have like a web upload that we use. So it'll be a little bit more like, you know.
It still works.
Things
it's just
work
a custom
today,
app and like updates and it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Goodness.
Yeah. Now, it's very cool though. And the nice thing is it's on Azure. And so when we have an event like Build and we're uploading 400, 500, 600 videos, you just throw more compute at it
just
let it go. Yeah, you turn that
dial it up to 11,
and it's amazing dial, an amazing dial when you see that many videos and they're all right.
Who's that new guy? Who's the new lady that's looking after Windows Insiders? You know her name?
Donna Sakar.
So, yeah. So it's like the big red button that Gabe threw to Donna. Here you go.
Ours is a dial.
Yeah, it's a dial.
A big dial. Yeah.
Up you go. It's
so 11. The funny thing too is when I started on Channel 10. So this is almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You
couldn't quite tune it in to Channel 9, so you went to Channel 10.
Yeah, we kicked it up.
It's like the whole UHF thing.
Yeah,
when you have to hold the bunny, the rabbit ears. Foil.
So every time you would publish a video on the system back then, we used the same system that they used to release like a service pack. And
nice.
So, yeah. And if you've ever done that, which I suspect no one really has, it's an amazing process, and it requires like two GMs to turn their keys at the same time.
Nice.
And so every video we published, we had to go through that process, and it was an incredible process.
Nice. Nice, I say. That is insane. I turned off my notes. Someone actually pinged me on business for Skype.
I understand that. Can you just...
It's on quiet. It shouldn't be bugging me. It shouldn't be bothering me. Go back. Go back away. Fun times, I tell you. Uh-huh. It's fun times trying to keep this thing together. It's hanging on by a thread.
Uh-huh.
To be exact.
At least things are kind of working this week. Yeah, I know.
It's definitely kind of working. Next segment up is going for beer money. Beer money. Like, I can talk wax poetically about my router problems
or
my gateways, but I think I'm going to give that a break. I'm not going to talk about it because, you know, there's no point. So I'm not going to talk about that one there. But this beer money, and I don't have the...
Exactly.
Beer sound. There's a horrible beer sound. It kind of works. It's like one of those... Someone gave me a Pabst Blue Ribbon that was too warm, and I tried to open it all over the place. Beer Money is talking about tech support you've done for your friends and family over the last little while.
Mm-hmm.
My tech support has been rather interesting. It's the end of the school year, this time of year for the Pacific Northwest, at least for my school district that my kids go to. And that involves getting their laptops ready to return to school. They're highly locked down, useless laptops that you can't install printer drivers on. Not that I'm bitter or anything. Or that has a wonderful logon experience that probably takes close to, 11 minutes to sign in if you're not connected to a network correctly.
Wow. Because it's Windows to go it?
It's Windows 7. I have three Windows to go sticks at my house. One for Ella, one for Grace, one for Mac. That basically makes their PC usable. they do occasionally have to sign on to their own actual real system, unfortunately. It's this lockdown version of the system, and it's so crazy. But trying to get those laptops charged up and ready to go, the files removed to be able to have things working. The one good thing is I did train them on how to use OneDrive, and they have not blocked OneDrive from the school filtering system. So they were able to get their stuff off of their systems easy enough, up into the cloud, and then use them. So that's been good. That was basically the gist of my PC recycling that I've had to do in the last little while, specific for those guys. Just recently, I also decided to resurrect a server in my house. I have a number of hardware that's in various different states. Like every other IT folks that's out there, but this particular server has a bunch of drives in it that my wife was complaining that she couldn't find the latest pictures for the cameras and how we used to do them. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna bring the server back. Bring the server back, baby, and then bring it up.
I know how that is, the wife not able to find the photos. What method do you use to organize your photos?
So the method I use right now, literally, I've gone back to the way it was, which is I have a server in the house that's called Whack Whack Server. She has an account on that server.
Shocker.
We do not use Active Directory, don't use logins, because everyone uses live IDs. I've got the server that's literally stand up as a standalone workgroup system with these four 2 terabyte drives set up in a pool and then set up in storage spaces.
Nice.
I am using Parity, so I don't care about performance, but I do care about a drive failing. Mm-hmm. You would not be using Parity if this was in Azure. You wouldn't waste the time with it. Mm-hmm. Literally, I have a share there that's called whack-whack-server/pictures, and in there are all the pictures. The reason why we had to find that is, again, because it's graduation time or a promotion or whatever they call it. They still call it graduation. My son had to find a picture of himself when he was, just newly born 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's literally around the time, maybe about a year after we bought our first digital camera back in the day. And we had to find baby pictures of
the
son. All right,
so you have a photos directory. Do you just dump all the photos into that, or do you have folders in there?
It is done through folders, and more importantly, you don't actually directly access it, except unless you want to copy one off. We actually do use Lightroom.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like about it, unless I've figured it out wrong, is that the Lightroom catalog and information is currently stored on her PC.
Mm-hmm.
So the way Lightroom works with Adobe is if you want to make changes and modifications to the photos, you go ahead and you do all that, but it doesn't actually change the photos. It leaves them at like negatives, and then it simply overlays the changes on top of the file, and then you say export that, please, and then it comes out as the proper thing that you want to have, nice. Which I don't really like, but I guess it makes sense if you're a photographer.
Yeah.
We have probably close to, I think last time I counted, 48,000 photos over the last 15 years that we have to track, and there's a crap ton of duplicates that are on there still. But there is a plugin for Lightroom that does data detection and deduplication for photos to make recommendations on getting rid of those photos.
Yeah.
That's what we do. But cool. If I could find a way, if there's any Lightroom experts that are listening to this, speak up now. Anybody?
No. Bueller? No? There's going to be a delay in the chat room.
I know. If there are any Lightroom experts, be great to know if I could put that catalog central somewhere. Which would then allow me to be able to share that catalog, and I could do photo processing, or my wife could do photo processing.
Yeah. So I have in my photos directory, because I have a kind of a similar thing, I have it separated. There's a folder for each year.
Yep.
And then under each year, I have a directory for every device I've offloaded. And so the directory starts with date, starting with year, month, and day. So I sorted alphabetically. It's kind of sorted chronologically.
So that's different than every other American that I know.
Okay. Well, it is, because if I did any other way, then it wouldn't sort correctly.
Right.
I have it by the device. So usually when my wife comes to me and she says, which she did just this week, she says, hey, I need a picture of our daughter for her graduation.
Yeah.
I'll say, okay, well, what year? Start there. And then I'll say, what device was a picture taken with? And then it kind of whittles that out. Yeah. And then I can tell, because each device, you only clear it off a couple times
once in a
year.
While. Yeah.
So I can find it that way. And
nice.
So far, it's been a good system.
So it's a file-based analogy for being able to figure it out. It's not using the metadata of the photos and a master program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually, I plan to go through all those photos, like everybody else's good intentions.
Sure.
You know, I don't need 48,000 photos, I'm sure. And so, for instance, I've been taking photos of my daughter's lacrosse or my son's lacrosse or my daughter's softball.
Yeah.
And I've got, from one game, 450 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because, back in the film days, I'd take 20. I'd make sure they were really good.
Yeah.
So now I've got 400, and I'm going to choose the 24 that are good. And so I've been very ruthless now of, as they come off the camera, I spend the 15 minutes to go blurry, 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 dark, blurry, blurry, good, 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 good. Why did I take that picture?
Yeah.
Good, good, bad, good. And then I say delete, and I say keep, and I say dump it inside this folder structure, and it's good to go.
So this is something that drives my wife crazy, but I refuse to ever delete a byte of data.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. And I'm a pack rat in the worst way. I'm a hoarder, a digital hoarder. And so I'll never delete anything. And she'll say, that photo is like unusable. It's blurry. Why would you even keep that? And I'm like, no, just keep it. And then I showed her a demo. There was a Photoshop did a demo where they took a completely blurry image and they ran it through this process, and it was like perfect again.
Wow.
And I was like, there you go. That's
now
why you don't
all those photos.
You don't delete them.
There you go.
So
now I got to go back and
never know what
all
you have.
Files. Thanks to you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, and the funny thing, you talk about, you only took 20 pictures. I did my own developing back.
Yeah, as I used to do too.
But I would shoot like 3-4 rolls of Trimax black and white, and I'd have like 60-70 shots from shooting. But I was shooting for a local newspaper.
Oh wow, you're like professional, like almost.
Well, it wasn't like a real newspaper. It was the Issaquah Press.
Nice. So photo management. That's
and the other cool thing too is I went through and I did some data visualizations on my photos one time, because I was bored over the weekend, and I looked at it, but I kind of graphed it out by like how many photos I had each year, and it was really cool, because you see, first of all, you see this massive spike like one year, and that turned out to be when phones came out that had good cameras,
of course. Yep.
And so that was the first really big spike. And then there were also spikes when each of my kids were born.
Of course, yeah.
So
gotta have all those photos.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. Now that you say that, it's like, God, it'd be fun to go through all the photos. My problem is, though, I still have a ton of negatives that I'm trying to figure out. Do I scan these?
Oh, you got to scan them.
There's a service. You can just basically put them inside of a shoebox, and they return them to you. And you can even put in index cards. inside that shoebox to tell you the different separations for them, and they'll scan the metadata for you and then put the information off of the
genius business model. I thought about that for because if you go out in my garage
I've
and
got
look,
like Rubbermaids of photos.
Yeah, and yeah, and that's a great idea. That's just
brilliant.
Genius. So if you go out in my garage, I have this bin of all my backup tapes, and it's like iOmega zip drives.
Oh God!
I've got these
backup tapes from work
Jazz or Jazz Rice. You had to have Jazz Rice too.
Oh yeah,
from work or from
DAT
home?
Tapes, both. but I've got like all these.
Don't ask Larry about PII infractions.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I've got all these different mediums that I don't have. Like I don't have a zip
drive
anymore.
They don't exist anymore.
Yeah. But there should be a service where I just send them off, and they're not that big anymore. I mean, I don't even remember how much a zip drive holds, but it's not that much. It's like, what, 500 meg or something? Maybe not even that. And so if you could send it off to a service, and then they just put it up in the cloud, and you can download it later and burn the disks. I don't care about that.
Nice.
But yeah, that'd be awesome. Another That's great insane. Business model. Someone yes. can run
Ladwig said he uses Scan Cafe for scanning negatives and slides, if he recalls. That's cool.
That yeah, is, I,
scan,
I spent...
Scan Cafe is the service that does it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. I did it myself, and I spent like 3 weeks where I just like pulled all the stuff out of the garage and scanned everything that I had.
And then you put it all back in the garage. You just got to have the originals.
I did.
See?
Just can't get rid of it.
I know.
Just
in
case.
It's a higher fidelity than you can ever scan. So my thing is that the scanner that you're going to have at home is never going to be as good as one of these guys that's doing this for their business.
And it's never going to be as good as if you do it like 10 years in the future.
Right.
So that's the main reason that I kept everything, because I was like, well, they're going to have better scanners someday, and I'm probably going to want to scan them again.
And it's with aging parents, I'm sure that my parents have got boxes and boxes of slides from the old slide carousels that are going to need to be processed as well. Oh, great. Data retention, man.
Where
are you going to put it? So, here I am, the guy that works in Azure, and I'm like, well, why do you have a server in your house? Like, literally, it's just to make it easier. Because I was trying, I was asking online, do people still using Flickr and stuff like that? It's like, no one's using Flickr.
Nope.
Anymore, except for Harjeet. He's using HitFlickr.
I'm surprised you're not going to set up a VPN from your house to a Azure server and private network.
Because then I'd have to pay for it.
Yes.
I don't want to do that.
No.
That would be like too crazy to do that. Too crazy to do that. Fun times, man. It's good to see that we have the similar problems.
Yeah.
With regards to data retention and
data
retention. And the fact you did BI on your photos is actually kind of funny.
I'm expecting a Power BI dashboard from Larry in the next couple of days. Here's all my photos.
Yeah. Here's the data that we saw. Here's what's going on.
These are the trends and our insights from Larry's photo data.
That can work. That can work. It's time for Ledwig to drop off because we're going to talk about beer now.
Well, I was just going to say he could start up a new Twitter account, Larry Law's Photo BI.
Nice.
Yeah.
And tweet out different facts about your photos.
Nice.
And Vizio MVP said that zip drives were 100 meg or 250 meg, which.
And I bet you he Googled that to find that out.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he did. For the next segment, it's called Beer Talk, for talking about everything to do with beer, because, we all drink beer in some way, shape, or form. Either make it, or drink it, or consume it, or talk about it.
Or
destroy it, if we have to destroy it. We had an unfortunate incident in the Beer Team 6 brewery. There was some...
Pour out a little. Wait.
Pour a little bit on the side. There was some unfortunate contamination that happened. Beer lines have to be clean at all time, especially the gas beer lines have to be clean, because otherwise if beer gets inside your gas system, bacteria goes inside the beer gets spoiled. And unfortunately, we had the incident of beer going bad.
Yes.
We have to say a moment of silence, if you could, for a moment here. The fan needs to be silent.
Shut up.
I know.
Yeah, the fan disrespected your beer.
I know, eh? Basically, we had some beer wash back inside the gas lines and contaminated the lines, and it infected the last keg that we had of J-Shock's Scotch Ale.
When do you find that out? Is it
when
you drink
taste it? And all of a sudden, it starts to taste sour or has strange banana tastes to them. So if anyone ever hands you a banana-tasting beer, don't drink it. It's really not a taste you want to have.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, his Scotch Ale turned into more of a Scotch Ale sour. And what was left of another keg that we had also went bad as well. And so we had to basically say goodbye to it. It is now gone.
However, we did It did go to a good home. It
went to a good home that we can't talk about, but we'll find out what happens to that in about...
So not FDA approved, it sounds like.
We're going to find out what happens to that in about 4 months' time.
Exactly.
See what happens with that one there. But on a positive note, my kegerator is back online again, freshly cleaned, and it now has... the Belgian Wit that we made at Hi-Fi on tap. It's a little undercarbonated. It needs to be recarbonated again. We have the Kelly Lager with the new strain of yeast from Sweden, which is quite nice, although it still needs to age a bit longer. And then finally, we also have the Golden Ale that we made during National Homebrew Day. So I finally have three drinkable beer on my taps at my house that you should come over and try sometime.
I will. You're having a little get-together.
I'm having a get-together for those that are in town and work for Microsoft. for the, you know, one person in the chat room that is. That we're having on the 23rd, I think it is. Or 25th? 23rd? I forget what day it is. It's 23rd. Saturday. We basically, all these people from around the world, about 6,000, 7,000 people, come into town for internal training at Microsoft. It's like a Microsoft Ignite for internals. Yeah. That's happening in July, and I traditionally open up my house to say, come on over, drink some beer, make some beer, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ride my bike over.
It's definitely worthwhile, and we have a friend of ours who is from South America, who I believe wants to do a Brazilian barbecue.
Mm. Ooh.
So it could be some really good food there.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, dude, it's a BYOE, bring your own everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're more than just hamburgers and hot dogs this time, apparently. We'll find out. So we'll see how that turns out. It'll be fun to see what's going on. Have you had any interesting beer in the last while? You still drink beer at all?
I haven't. I don't tend to drink much of anything other than Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew. Mm. So that's my poison.
We should make Diet Mountain Dew poison. Alcoholic somehow.
Yeah, definitely.
One would know.
Joey would say ad vodka.
You're in your office.
But I am growing grapes at home.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I guess I could do like a wine thing. Although you could do a wine or a beer.
What's that thing they do with the wine, the grape skins? That's, what is that stuff? The old Italian guy sitting on front door stoops drink. With the leftover wineskins.
Mm.
What is that stuff?
I don't know what that is.
They after they get all the stuff out and the juices for the wine, they take that stuff and they do something else with it to make it into some kind of alcohol. I forget what
I think I've had that, though.
I was going to say it's gazpacho, but that's not it.
It's stronger.
I was thinking grupa, but I bet they know that's
grappa.
Grappa?
Grupa. Is it grupa?
Grappa.
Grappa.
Grupa.
Grupa.
That sounds like something you get arrested for.
Yeah, so I stuck some grapes out on my deck, and they went nuts, and just, like, I've got grapes like crazy now.
They are growing, like, real grapes. Yeah. Are they, like, food grapes you got from the grocery store?
I got them from Home Depot. It's just, you know, grapes. And I was walking
You bought. Yeah. It's actual really plants.
Yes. Okay. And so I have a bunch of wineries around me in Woodinville, and I'm like, well, if they're doing it, why shouldn't I?
Must be good enough soil, yeah. What
yeah, else? So I built, a planter box out by my garage. I've got just tons of grapes out there now.
We normally have some kind of a garden growing in our environment, but my kids are not interested this year. And I'm like, fine, you don't want to make a garden? I'm going to turn it into a hop garden.
There you go.
But unfortunately, I was 2 weeks too late, and all the supply of hop rhizomes, cuts from the roots, were gone by that point. So I have a line on some that might still be able to make it this season to be able to establish some good roots, but those things grow 20 feet tall. They're like vines, right? Yep. So I've got to come up with a system, and I've come up with a pretty cool one. I'm going to get like a 4x4 post.
Server rack? You use 16, a server rack?
And I could work. 16-foot post attached to my fence that is going to have a pulley system with lines coming down that basically I can lower and then let the vines grow on that one there. As they get closer to the top, I just hoist it up some more. They grow some more. Hoist it up. Keep it going all the way up to the very top.
That's genius.
We'll see how it works.
Surprised you're not thinking of doing something IoT, have it have some sensor.
It takes time. I'm not into that just yet. I need to get a sprinkler system. Actually, I need to own the house first. That's the main reason why I'm not doing a hop garden right now is that I don't own my house. So hoping to resolve that in the not-too-distant future. We'll see.
That would be cool.
We shall see. That's fun, man. Yeah. That was easy.
Yeah.
Okay, Ledwig, you can turn your sound back up again. Next up is the second last section, which is known as
random
money.
Spending.
Random spending.
Yeah.
Cha-ching. There's the sound. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Ding-ding.
Random spending. What have you random spent on? in the last couple of weeks. Have you bought anything there, Mr.
I'm going to have to buy a new USB charging system for when I travel, because I seem to have left mine in Montana at the hotel that my mom and I stayed at.
So you mean like a power block?
Yeah, an Anker 6 port, six and port I had a whole bunch of cables that all were different lengths, worked perfect with my travel.
Can you call the hotel, have them send it to you?
That was like 3 weeks ago. Oh. It's gone. Plus, it was like it's a day's in. So
$15 to have it shipped, and it's going to be probably $12 to buy a new one.
Well, and the worst part about it is I'm going to San Jose today.
Oh, no. That's not
good. For SharePoint Saturday down in Silicon Valley. So
you have no charging device capabilities.
I have all the stupid single charger. And,
nice.
Yeah.
USB hub. Just bring a hub.
That could work, I guess. Not too bad. I do have to say, though, I used your AirHook device.
Did
on my trip to Italy and the trip back again. It came in very handy. Because on one of the flights there was no TV. It was an old plane. This AirHook device basically hooks onto the back of the table
seat
tray.
In front of you?
Table tray. And allows you to basically have this one device with a little shock cord, rubber elastic type thingy, and a hook. So you can put whatever type of device, laptop or phone or tablet, up inside of the AirHook area. And it also has a built-in cup holder as well. So you can have your coffee cup off of your lap and on there.
And
there
when the person in front of you reclines,
it actually, if they do it too fast, it can be a problem if there's liquid in there. But otherwise, it can be adjusted so it actually still works. So that was actually a very cool thing.
Yeah, I got it on the – got a picture
can't
up of
can't see
it.
Back there. So. I know. Okay, good. Awesome stuff.
Looking at it now.
Did you buy anything cool gadget wise in the last little while?
Well,
wait, what can you share?
I've got an HTC Vive, and so in the last week, I've bought probably every application and game there is for it.
Oh yeah.
So that was the bulk of my spending. I want to try absolutely everything out. I'm doing I'm in Unity. This is kind of interesting. We have, if you've ever been to like Build or anything, you see the Channel 9 live stage that we do.
Yeah.
Well, when they do that, we have to do like drawings and diagrams, CAD drawings for it. And so we have 3D models of that space. And they're very accurate to what we do at Build. So I took the 3D model from that and brought it into Unity.
Nice.
And then I can walk around the Channel 9 live space in Vive with the headset.
Nice.
Kind of cool.
You can do the same thing with a studio tour.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
So been doing that and then just playing all the different games. And
have you played the chef game where you're a chef?
Yeah, Job Simulator.
Job Simulator.
My kids love that. I'm just
nice.
I'm at a loss. So I've got kids who
want to be burger chefs now.
They will spend literally hours like flipping burgers and working at a convenience store and doing all this stuff. But ask them to clean up their room and
Dad, I'm good.
Not
so like this reality better.
Yeah, they'll work for free in a convenience store for like 6 hours.
That's kind of like reality, isn't it? Once you get paid to work in a convenience store, nothing. Wow. That's crazy, man. I've never tried it before.
Yeah, it's very cool.
The only device that I've used has been the HoloLens, and that's
it. HoloLens is awesome.
Huh?
Oh, man.
I don't own one. I've tried the HoloLens.
I know. I haven't even seen one yet.
You're missing out, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, tell me about it.
Try it out.
All right, definitely.
Yeah, I've done HoloLens a few times.
One of my colleagues decided, he said on Twitter a little while ago, a friend of mine, Ross Gardler, he's been doing some programming and stuff like that with his son, and for a project and for something else going on. And he said, you know what? Screw it. I'm buying a HoloLens. So he was able to justify it with the family unit by saying that his son can program with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, interesting. Now, the interesting thing is that now since it's arrived at his house, he's been working from home a lot. I don't get that.
Yeah. HoloLens is really cool. I tried out the Mars experience that they had at Build this year.
Yeah.
And so that was just really interesting. I mean, I was like on my hands and knees on the floor looking at the surface of Mars, like really close detail. And
that's cool.
It's incredible.
That is awesome.
And I saw like the circle on the ground and I was like, oh, I've discovered aliens because, there's a circle. And I went over and peered into it and you could like look down the hole. It was like a little, like a beer can size hole.
Oh, yeah?
And then when you look at it, a little thing pops up and it's like, this is where they dug a core sample. And I was like, wow, it's pretty
That's
incredible.
Awesome, man.
So
that is awesome.
Like pop-up videos?
Yeah, it was just like pop-up videos.
A little bubble came up.
Yeah. Bloop. So try
Sarcastic
that out.
Rover is over there.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
So, yeah, Job Simulator, that one's really cool on Vive. And, yeah. Just been playing a lot of Vive stuff. It's so much fun.
Nice.
The really interesting thing, though, is I found out my video card isn't powerful enough for Vive, so I'm going to have to upgrade that.
Oh, yeah.
But, and when you look at the power that's required to drive one of these headsets, because you need, you know, 90 frames a second in each eye, two eyes, you know, 1.5K or whatever it is.
That's crazy.
It's an insane amount, and it just makes you appreciate even more what the HoloLens can do, because it's all on board.
Yeah.
Yep.
All on board. Plug it in, turn it on.
Self-contained. Yeah. So it's its own computer.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm hoping that my friend brings it in.
You know, you can find people. I mean, Mark DeFalco, who was on the Channel 9 team, is over on HoloLens now.
He won't let me come to his... he doesn't. They're not allowed to have visitors.
Oh, yeah.
You have to basically meet him outside.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, can you bring it outside and we can try it? It's like, no, sorry, can't do
it. We'll find something for you guys.
We should have him on here.
Yeah, we should bring him in and have him do a demo and you can see something.
Just have him on the podcast. Have him wear it all the whole time.
We'll have a 3D model of Joey sitting next to us that you can
Joey could
look
be
at.
Here. Joey was going to join us remotely from Skype, but then he heard that you had audio problems with it, so he said, no, he can't do it.
Yeah.
His quality is not there. I'm realizing that the band is actually on strike today because Joey actually is the one that does the contract negotiation with the band, and because he's not here, they refuse to show up. Mm. So we don't have our closing music. Beer money wise, not beer money, beer, what is this? Random spending. Why am I having a hard time with this? Because I'm only done half my coffee is the problem. random spending. I bought something for my Jeep. Pretty simple.
What'd you buy?
I bought a metal plate.
Hey, cool.
Pretty high tech. But I bought a metal plate to remove my rear tire on the back of the Jeeps you normally see traditionally. I'm going to take that tire off. I'm going to replace it with a metal plate. And I'm going to hook up some LEDs to do a rear third brake light thingy.
Oh, so it's not a rear tire that's on the car.
It's now going to be...
It's the one on the back of the car.
Yeah, the spare.
Because I was thinking a plate wouldn't help you get traction.
Clunk. The tire I have on the back is one of the originals, which is a 30-inch, and I have 33s on my Jeep. So it would be kind of strange having to drive with one of the wheels being different in case there was a problem. So until I get around to buying the proper fifth tire, I'm just going to take it off and put on this metal plate. That's the excitement that I've
had. Does the plate do anything, or is
the plate it's powder coated? And it allows you to relocate your license plate, too, from the side to be in the middle if you wanted to.
Okay.
It's very high-tech. Comes with 9 bolts to be able to put it on. And it does not interfere with the vent that's behind it.
Hmm.
So it's a very integrated solution for $47.95.
Nice.
That's what I spent.
Damn.
$47.95. And then $5 for shipping or something like that.
Goodness gracious.
That's it. Oh, and I bought a rubber plug. You need a rubber plug to
Say no more.
I don't want to know. I don't want
to
know.
You need a rubber plug to be able to plug
up the
hole where the license plate goes.
Okay,
the license plate. Pretty simple stuff. What's our countdown timer left? Are we almost done here? Because I got to say goodbye to people.
We got 2 minutes.
2 minutes left still? Roughly. Well, that's tons of time. We can do another whole segment, man.
Well, we do need to do another segment. We need 3 work safe words.
So that'd
name
be good.
The next kind of
it's a lighter show this week. Oh, Nerd Pile joined us. Wow.
Who let him in the chat room?
I thought we had a filter for him. Didn't we? I'm going to call out. Nerd's been doing an awesome job with disaster recovery.
Have
you seen those? What's he calling it? D6?
D6DR.
D6DR.
Is the hashtag.
Hashtag D6DR. Go take a look at that on Twitter. He'll just randomly say, okay, draw your data center on a whiteboard, lay out your server racks, divide it up into 6, and then roll a dice. And whatever number that is, that chunk of your data center goes out.
What do you do?
And basically you sit down with your IT team to basically figure out what's in that rack, what's busted, is it fixed, do you have a recovery plan for it, and off you go. And he's been sharing some very interesting pictures and stories about stuff like that.
You know
that.
Who else has
brilliant
been
idea.
Having some real D6DR. Fun on Twitter lately?
What?
Jeffrey Snover with all of his DevOps and PowerShell equivalents.
Definitely.
some interesting gifts.
Nice. Definitely some interesting gifts have been coming out of Mr. Snowby these days. He still runs his own Twitter account. But I'm anxious to see what the next D6DR variation is for what's there.
Yeah, kidding.
And stories that come out of it.
We got our first word, by the way.
We do?
Kelvin put in plug.
Plug.
I was going to suggest that, too. I think that...
Plug D6DR.
Well, I guess, yeah, you know what? We'll promote it. We'll put the hashtag in front of that, too.
Okay.
Hashtag D6DR. And then one last one. Anybody?
One more.
Anybody?
Bueller.
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 How about Mr. Larry? One word. Don't look at the screen. One word. Now.
Nerd.
Nerd.
Nerd. Nerd.
There we go. We have plug D6DR nerd.
Excellent.
Nice. Very easy.
Yes.
This is where normally the band would be starting up and play. There you go. And I got to say thank you very much for joining us for this week. Another episode of the Patch and Switch Show.
Play us out.
We have to go in and say thank you to our chat room. We were a smaller number this week, but you know what? Still, you're important to us. Thank you for spending time. Mr. J-Shock. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming around. Nerd Pile joined us coming in late. PEI Murphy, Kevin Hoyle, Mr. Ledwig, Rickster CDN, whoever that shifty guy is, Henrik is joining us as well. Chuck Rocks Canada, Foul Temper, Fair Brit, Vizio MVP, and the celebrity known as CH9. Thank you very much for joining, everybody. You know what? What does he always say here?
Have a weekend,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Are we out yet?
Not quite yet.
Hit the button.